open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I realized something recently, and this shook me, because we love to quote the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for. See, every one of you in this room who've been around church, you've heard that scripture quoted many times. Wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And do you know what I found that often happens? The wealth of the righteous is laid up for the wicked. I've seen it. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, where godly people that tithed and honored God and were blessed ended up not having a plan to honor God in their death. And I don't know when Jesus is coming. I feel like I need to be ready today because Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Thank you. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? So you need to be ready, right? So anyhow, I want to just let you know that our dear friends Ralph and Rachel not only blessed us when they were with us, they're blessing, and there'll be some more coming. And I don't know who looks to you as a steward. I don't know how your relationship with God is, but I want to encourage you to understand that we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. Reading from the New Living Translation, on August the 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. But that is what the Lord Almighty says. The people are saying. People are saying. I still have pastors ask me, "Oh, I bet you missed the Parkway. I bet you missed. You had a nice auditorium and you guys did those huge productions and you all had the amphitheater and you guys had that new building and you had all of that." And I still say the same thing to all of them. No, I don't miss that, because I'm looking forward at what God has for us. Because God is wanting to, in the days that remain, not only do something for those of us that are my age or maybe a couple days older, but that we would have a home and a location and facilities that will be able to minister to the children that we have and their children if Jesus tarries. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? You need to be ready. But when I was 8 to 10 years old, there was a missile crisis in Cuba and people were building bunkers. And I remember hearing people say, "Jesus is coming, there's no reason, there's no need for education, there's no need to plan." I'm still here. So we need a plan. I believe Jesus is coming. I also believe that I am to prepare for my son and his children and your children and their children if Jesus tarries. Because let me tell you one thing the devil does really well. He does really well, a really great job at developing and providing tons of high-class, expensive opportunities to destroy our kids. There's a place for them, and somebody will probably give them drugs for free to get them hooked. And so in the kingdom of God, we do need to think about our children, our grandchildren, and we do need to think about legacy. And so whatever the people are saying, I want to know what God's saying. People are saying that time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord, the Lord's house, the temple. So the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruin? Do you know the average cost of a home in Martin County is, I believe it's over $300,000. $300,000. Now it's higher than that. It's something more like, it changes, it jumps around. But do you know if over the life of a church, if families said, I've honored God with a tithe of my life, I'm going to honor God with a tithe of my death. Do you know if families did that just with their house, that would be $30,000? Do you know the 10 families, that would be $300,000? You know that 100 families, that would be $3 million. It's costly to build now. It costs money to build. Prices have gone up. Maybe they're coming down now. I don't know. We're going to see what happens with that. But I was thinking about that and I was just wondering, why don't we talk about this and why don't we understand that there would not be a lack of resources in the kingdom if we as kingdom people simply made it a priority to support the kingdom. So I plan to do that. I plan to do that. And I really want to do a whole lot more than that. And the reason why I do is because God called me to this region, and one day Ruddy may be preaching instead of me every week. Jose's got preaching to do down in Panama. They're getting ready to go to Panama. Awesome. Abundant Life Church. I wish you could see their facilities there. They built it out of a barn that we took down. A steel flower farm barn. Took the steel down, shipped it down there. It is awesome what God has blessed Jose and Cheryl with. They're awesome pastors. Have a heart for missions, for the nation. Minister to other pastors. God's used them in a tremendous way. The barn was given to us, Jose. But it had to be packed, had to be shipped, had to be sent out. But you know, I'm old enough, I start looking at things and asking questions. Is that okay? I just wonder why we don't think stewardship in the kingdom of God. Why don't we plan that way? What would we do with a $1 million donation? Have you ever looked at some of the donations that go to hospice? You know, hospice is a for-profit business. Most people don't know that. For-profit. Check it on. Go online. Look at the millions of dollars. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, there's not a place for these things. What I'm saying is, I know believers that will leave huge chunks of money to organizations like that and not even think at all. I'm not going to be quiet about this because I think some sons and daughters and grandchildren would be powerfully impacted if they saw God as being a priority when you're gone. I believe that. And when We have a fundraiser, and you hear me talking about legacy gifts at WCNO Christian Radio. I'm going to talk about legacy gifts. And you hear me talking about $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million. There's people that are billionaires that are in our listening audience that could drop that. They give millions to universities. Why shouldn't we believe that the righteous should be blessed? So can I tell you my prayer life about funds for the building? And I'm going to blame my oldest son. It's all his fault. Totally Jay's fault. All his fault. I would take him to Christian school as we drove by the property. We've owned the property since 2001. As we drove by the property, I would pray something like this. Now, Father, you've given us property for the building. You've given us buildings for the property. Now all we need is permits and finances to erect the buildings. So, Father, I'm asking you for $50,000, $100,000, $500,000. To build these buildings. One morning, he may have been in second grade, first or second grade. He was just a little guy. One morning he goes, "Dad, why are you praying those kind of numbers? Why are you praying for such small amounts?" He's just a kid. "Why are you praying for such small amounts? Isn't there more to do for Jesus than just that? Is that all that's going to be needed?" I'm telling you, this is exactly what my son said. And then he came up with a gazillion. I don't even know what a gazillion is. I don't even know where he heard gazillion. He said, "Why don't you pray for a gazillion dollars?" You know what he was saying? He was saying, is God broke? I believe that's what he was saying. So now my prayer is, now Dylan, you're gonna hear me. I have never told you this, but I will tell you. My prayer is, Father, I'm asking you for the first million, for 10 million, and $10 billion to be used in the kingdom. Say, well, how can you do that? Are we full of millionaires? Not that I know of. But I'm not looking to you. When I'm praying, I'm talking to the Father. And I know that the Father will release great riches to those He can trust. You're a steward, right? I know some of you really well, and some of you know me really well, and you know that we practice what I'm preaching this morning. And I believe many of us struggle because we don't trust God and honor Him with what He gives us. A million, 10 million. I guess Jay would say pray for 10 gazillion dollars, whatever a gazillion is. I still don't know. If any of you figure that out, let me know, okay? Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how the things are going for you. You planted much, harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine and drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. My wife and I needed a car back, I guess it's 4 years ago now, maybe going on five. Need to replace one of our cars. And we drive cars normally for at least 10 years, maybe 12 years as a family. Get a lot of good use out of them, try to take care of them. So we were shopping for a vehicle. We found one we liked. It was $14,000. It's my wife's, and she enjoys it, but it's costly to get work done on it. My brother Gil helped me understand that it was costly. Maintain it. So I received a letter back, a couple years ago, a year and a half ago or something, and because the warranty's out, it had, by this point, it has I don't know, 60, 70,000 miles on it. And we plan to get another 5 years out of it. And it's in perfectly good condition, and so, you know, that's just what we expect to have happen. But this notice in the mail said, there's a recall on your vehicle. And so, you know, make appointments, do this and that. And, you know, whenever the parts are available, then, you know, you'll have to take it in the dealer and settle, you know, such forth. You probably receive things like that. And so then it said, and after these repairs are done, you will have a warranty that extends for an additional 4 years on your vehicle. Now, this is a 2010 vehicle. So we still have like 3 more years of factory warranty on our car. They rebuilt the whole engine. They replaced parts. They did, I don't know, $13,000, maybe $15,000 worth of work on it. I mean, it was like a little tune-up. God was just giving us a little tune-up on it. You know, it didn't cost us anything. And then there was one other little side thing that it said. And you're qualified to receive in excess of $3,000 for the inconvenience. I just looked at that again this past week and I thought, only God would have known that would have been happening. I mean, I look at that and I give God glory for that. Because we honor God. We honor God. Things like this happen all the time to us. And we're blessed and we thank God for it. And I want you all to be blessed. And I want you to know that we're all stewards. Okay, so three things they were told to do. Go up to the mountains, bring down the supplies, and rebuild. Or build the house of God. Rebuild the house of God. I've got to touch on this. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Turn with me real quickly there. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, drop down to verse 12. Now the sons of Eli, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli, the New Living Translation, is a little graphic. It says they were scoundrels. The sons of Eli, the high priest. The sons are scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duty as priest. So if you think you've known some pastors that were pretty bad, it didn't just start in America. But God wasn't going to let it keep going on. God was going to call accountability. Tells us whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and this is what I want you to see, when anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a three-pronged fork. While the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling, the servant would stick the fork into the pot and demand whatever it brought up be given to Eli's sons. All the Israelites who came to worship at Shiloh were treated this way. Sometimes the servant would come even before the animal's fat had been burned on the altar. He would demand raw meat before it had been boiled so that it could be used for roasting. The man offering the sacrifice might reply, "Take as much as you want, but the fat must be burned." Then the servant would demand, "No, give it to me now or I'll take it by force." 17, verse 17. So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. The Lord's offerings. So the Lord's offerings was to be food for the priest and his family, as well as often for the worshiper. But what they were doing is they were desiring the select cuts of meat, and they were taking whatever they wanted instead of what God had said was for them and their share. And so God looked at that, and God said they were treating the Lord's offerings with contempt. Years ago, we had a couple big TV ministries that were, they came apart. And thank God they did, because there were things going on financially that were out of order. And that should have been brought to account. I remember hearing some people say, I'll never give again because of that. I gave to the bakers. I gave to this. I gave to that. I'll never give again because of this and that. I want to just point this out, that going all the way back to the animal that's brought and the sacrifice that's brought, God calls those offerings His. What you bring was His before you brought it. Really? Because He owns it. So when you bring it and you give it, whether you gave a penny or you gave $100, whatever you give, give that as an offering that belongs to God, that is God's. And understand that I am responsible. I am accountable to God. I'm accountable to you. I'm accountable. And Bob and Esther understand this and believe it. Ruddy and Jasmine, our elders, they understand this truth and believe it. Jose and Cheryl understand this truth and practice it. I believe Ben and Mary Ellen, you're up there somewhere. Hello. Maybe watching today. They understand these principles. These are principles of the Word of God. So when I'm talking about God wants us to build, God's not looking for the McLeans to become fat cats off of your donations that belong to Him. God looks at what you bring. It's holy. When I bring my checks and you bring your checks and you bring your offerings and you give it to God, it is a holy offering that God claims as His. And so when you give it, guess what? It is still His. Now, God looks at me and the board and maybe all of us as we make decisions together and holds us accountable for those decisions that are made. Then I suppose I should take you for one moment to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, I want you to go to chapter 11. 1 Chronicles 11. This just take a second. Because I have to tell you, this scripture describes how I feel when I see your faithfulness. During COVID, you were faithful. I've known many in the body of Christ, single moms, single dads, widows, widowers. You're just faithful. Maybe the stock market's up, maybe the stock market's down. You're still faithful. You're still givers. And so during all of the pandemic, when big churches were struggling, and many still large churches, I still get reports of many churches, 50% of the people have not come back since COVID. And they have large numbers that died. And I look at our congregation and go, we're not all back, but a lot of us are back. And most of us didn't die. Almost all of us lived through COVID. But we honor Him and we respect Him. And so this is the scripture. I know. I'll close with this passage. Chapter 11. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 16. David was staying in the stronghold at the time. That's an awesome place to go. I've been there in Israel. And a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. So David's up in... He's at the cave of Adullam. And it's like an impossible place for you to sneak into. I mean, the archers would pick you off long before you ever got close. There was only one way in. And even into the inner parts of that cave, you have to crawl on your belly, right, honey, to get into it. And so they were like safe, safe, safe. Nobody could really get to them. But they were they were enclosed in this cave. So David is just kind of talking, reminiscing maybe a little bit, and he says this in verse 17. David remarked longingly to his men, "Oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well in Bethlehem. The one that's by the gate." Guess who's in Bethlehem? The Philistines. And David's just saying, "Man, I'd love some of that good water in that well." So, the three. You want to know who the three is? You have to read about his mighty men. But the three, they have this conversation. "Let's go get David some water from that well." Not the whole 600-700 of them, three of them. "We'll sneak in there, we'll get in there, we'll get it, and we'll be gone." And so this is what they do. The three broke through the Philistine lines, drew some water from the well, brought it back to David, but David did what? He refused to drink it. He poured it out before the Lord, and he said, "God forbid that I should drink this. This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me." So David did not drink it. I'll tell you, that's how I felt when that check for $10,000 came. I said, "God, you have allowed me to be in a place where I can be a steward, and I'm not worthy of that position. But Father, you've put me in a place where I get to choose as a steward what should be done." And I really wonder what those three guys thought. I'm not sure they fully understood the significance of what David did. But what David was saying was, I believe David was saying this. He was saying, "What you did expresses a level of trust and love, not law." There was no law in it. David didn't ask him to do it. They weren't required to do it. They did it simply because they loved David, and they all risked their lives because they loved him. And I recognize that God's put me in one of those places. And as we start this year, I want you to know that I take it very serious.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.